Hey, Marv doesn't wait for anybody, apparently, over here. So it's okay. So just to take a little bit of an interlude from the journal that we're learning from Tzav Aziris, just to learn a paragraph together from a different one of the Rebbe's works, from B'nai Machshava Tova, that I think will, I hope, will kind of shed light into the way we're learning, specifically the way we're learning Tzav Aziris, And more importantly, generally speaking, Bechlal, just the way I'm living, the way I'm going through life. And Befrat, and specifically, already Megillah Nikra, we could read already the Megillah, tomorrow it's Yud Aleph. So already the lights of Purim are shining very strong this week, and it's hard to kind of separate ourselves from that. So I hope that this Torah, which is the beginning of Seder Hadracha B'Klalim, which summarizes the B'nai Machshava Tova. It kind of brings together the Rebbe's instructions about mindfulness and guided imagery and all the different elements of creating a community and creating a chevra and developing a group of people who are working together. It's a system. There's a systematic, developed way that the Rebbe maps it out. So one keta, one paragraph from there, is something that I think after last week I was thinking a lot about. The third piece of Tzav Aziris, we learned about that phenomenon that sometimes we feel like we are trapped outside of ourselves, that our heart becomes hardened, and we're unable, so to speak, to feel ourselves and experience in a real way in order to maximize the feelings and maximize the, specifically Rebbe's talking about brokenness. We also applied it to inspiration. It's hard sometimes to take that inspiration or that brokenness and kind of translate it into actual kalim, sustained change, because our heart ossifies and then we kind of get stuck on the outside looking in. So the Rebbe, from a little bit of a different vantage point, addresses this here in B'nai Machshava Tova. It's the beginning of his Seder Hadracha in Klalim on page 48, the B'nai Machshava Tova, if you have the Sefer in front of you or the Xerox is here. Dvareinu Eilu Me'achar Sha'avart Aleim Kvar. After we've kind of gone through a lot of these fundamentals and ideas that we learned about, Tatchil Me'ata L'Kro Mechadash. First thing the Rabbi says is after a person has gone through, and he's specifically talking about B'nai Machshava Tova, this manifesto, but it could apply to every single thing that we're doing and learning and experiencing in life. That now that we've kind of, we've gotten to the bottom, we can go back to the top, so to speak, in a non-helter-skelter way, but in a very systematic fashion to, once we've gone through it once, okay, now we can begin to review these principles again, l'kra mechadash, and to learn them again, new, fresh. Lo ke'adam shekorei u'medaber machshavos ra'ayonos v'chol harpaskos ha'nefesh u'zula. So, not to learn these ideas, these thoughts, these concepts, and these different elements, these different ups and downs and adventures and challenges, these harpatkaot ha'nefesh, not as if I'm reading it about somebody else. A lot of times we hear a story. Somebody gives a drasha, somebody you hear a musar shmuz, and you hear somebody read an article or quote something or tell a story, or I read something in a musar sefer, I read something in a sefer of chasidus or avoda or some agarata in the Gemara, and it's a good story, it's a nice idea, it's something which is powerful about someone else. These harpaskos hanefesh shel zulato. Not to read these principles and how it might apply in theory, as an abstract construct, rak ya'adam shekore es divrei atzmo, but to read it in a way which, from the inside out, that it's addressing me, that it's talking to me. I heard the idea, and it's kind of sitting there now, and in mysticism would be called as a makif, something which is kind of surrounding, it's kind of there on the surface, waiting to come in. Now when I learn it again, when I review it, When I read it again, I review it mechadash from a new way. Now this makif could come bifnim, could now kind of settle inside, and I could understand it and translate it to what it means to me personally. Mashal l'shnei bnei adam sha'omrim tehillim. Here's an example, a way to kind of flesh this out, of two people who are saying tehillim. Two people with a book of psalms. La'echad Lo chaser kol tov. One person, everything is good. Everything is gravy. Things are, you know, on easy street right now in his life. It should be for all of us. We shouldn't have difficulties. And we should have good health. But everything is kind of good. You know, he's banking money and everybody's healthy and things are fine at home and everything is great. Vasheni, and the second, tavua b'tzarot rachman atzlan. He's just really stuck in a really difficult place, filled with tzaros, with difficulties. Ze korei rakis advarim shediber David HaMelech ki ilu misaper ma'ase shahaya. The first guy, he's reading Tehillim. It's good to read Tehillim. Psalms, it's Torah, it's Tefillah, it's great, it's 2 in 1. He's reading the book of Tehillim, but he's reading about David HaMelech running away and having challenges and difficult and churban and exile and parnas and challenges as a ma'ase shahaya. It's kind of like an abstract story. It's something which exists in reality, but it's not really where I'm at right now. I'm not really connecting to it from the inside out. I'm reading it as something which is, something that happened to a person named David HaMelech, and I understand it in theory. It's a ma'aseh shahaya. V'hameducha b'yisurim, but the person who's stuck, who's just shattered and suffering under the weight and burden of difficulties, whether it be in his relationships or in parnasa and something, whatever, inside of them. Tzo'ek, he's screaming out. He's screaming out those words from Tehillim that I'm drowning in a deep swamp. He's actually there. David HaMelech's words are actually expressing themselves through him. It's his own voice. It's manifest in his own personal narrative, in his own personal experience. David HaMelech nasan lo rak diburim befiv lahotzi tzaakasam alibam. David HaMelech, so to speak, is giving me the words to express what's happening inside of me. Sometimes you open up a Tehillim and you just sit there. And it's bam, it hits the spot. It's exactly what's happening in my life. And you could even look through in the Mitzvah and other, you know, in the art school, they give you a little hadracha. This is if you're going through this. This is if you're looking for that, if you're having trouble with this. In other words, to personalize it, to find that code, those words that really give kelim, that give vessels, an expression to what I'm going through. Lahotzi tzaakato milibo. Tfila la'ani kiyatov. That kapitel that expresses when David HaMelech cries out, Tfila la'ani kiyatov, the prayer of a poor person, of a person who's lowly and broken in spirit, its own, who's faint-hearted. Ha'ani mis'atev kula b'tfilaso. Mitatev also doesn't just mean faint-hearted and weak, but also someone who's wrapped up in whose afflictions, you know, surround us. We're wrapped up in our afflictions. Kulo b'tfilaso. That our afflictions are expressed specifically in our davening. We're wrapped in it. V'tfilato bo. And that tefillah kind of encircles us and wraps us and is expressed through us. Like David HaMelech said, Va'ani tefillah. That davening is something that I'm doing, that I'm engaged in a state of prayer, but it's something which is what I'm becoming. It's an expression of self, and we know this to be true. You know, when we feel when the heat is on, when the pressure is on, and there's, you know, we're in bomb shelters, God forbid, or someone's in the hospital, there's a certain sense of urgency, and I could find my personal narrative expressed through the words of Tehillim in a very natural way. But, you know, when things are going well, it's a little bit hard, you know. I understand the idea, you know, in the abstract, but not necessarily in a personal way.
Isn't it natural? You can't live in the knife edge the whole time. We can't have Yom Kippur every day.
Nachon.
It's impossible. So there is a time, just like the Mitzvah says, when somebody's sick in your family,
Vadai. So this is the example of Tehillim.
Yeah.
This is the example of Tehillim, for sure. It's not if every minute, and not every at-bat is the bottom of the ninth inning, the seventh game of the World Series. Not every time, you know, you're kicking the ball, there's no time in the clock in a tied game of the Championship Series. Meaning, it's like Pashkevillin. Not every single thing is the biggest issue facing the Jewish people in the history of the world. Like right now, if this doesn't happen, the whole world is going to fall apart. It's not everything. If everything is urgent, then nothing is really urgent. 1,000%. He's giving that as an example. In the way we approach everything in life. And this is just an example about Tehillim and Tefillah. But for sure, he says, Ken gam bazeh, when we're learning Torah, K'she'echad korei v'shonei l'mashal. Now when a person's learning, And he gives it specifically, if you, when you're learning, you know, an earlier piece in the Sefer that gives a specific instruction, that our days are going by and we're feeling lowly of spirit and a little bit down. When I'm reading something, I shouldn't kind of relate to it in the abstract about somebody else, but to do my best to read consciously, to it's what's called in contemporary literature spiritual reading, and it's something which I could personalize, and maybe it's something which in a kehila like this, in a chabura like this, the people who are, we're a self-selected group here, in a place, in a neighborhood here, where people are trying to live consciously, and we're trying to develop a sense of sensitivity to what's going on in our inner world, in our inner life. This is something which we're taking for granted, which is natural. That we're learning, margish atas dagas nafsho, is that I'm when I'm hearing something, when the Rebbe speaks, it's not just some idea, but I'm trying to see how does it apply to me, and how is this something which I'm experiencing. The examples, you know, when we learn about that a person should think about, you know, imagine for themselves Yom HaMisa, imagine the day of death, that when things are going to end or begin in a different dimension, not to think about what it's going to be like for my elderly relative, or to think about somebody who maybe is in a more frail condition, but to try to imagine in a real way for myself. Not just ich ploni tzir la'atzmo, a line down. Ata misrageish rak brachmanos al chavercha. Not empathy. Not to identify with the idea and how it might manifest itself in someone else's life, but me. Rak, in the underline, rak ata be'atzmecha mitzayir l'cha kein. Not as an external narrative, but how can this apply to me? How can I experience this for real? Not hearing about somebody else, but in my own personal life. And the same thing is true when we're learning anything of inspiration. And again, this is the first teaching, the first journal entry that we learned together in Tzavaziris, about personalizing, not just reading somebody else's narrative, but understanding how it applies to myself. When I'm reading Hislavas, Hischazchus Kamachshava, something that has to do with inspiration. That's why he says you can't read this one time. You can't just look in a shitchi way, in a way which is superficial. Because if we do, then we won't be able to go through Litragesh Beshiflus, Simcha, Shvir Saleh, Va'aliyah Bepamachat. It's just, there's too much emotion, there's too much packed into it to just go through it one time. Because if we read it in that way, it's just going to be a maisa shahaya. I was thinking about it a lot this week, these past 2 days, coming close to Purim. You know, the difference between Mikra Megillah and Kriyas HaTorah, Rav Shlomo explains that, you know, Kriyas HaTorah, the Tzibur is reading it together, and everybody, every week, reading a different parasha, and it's something that all of Am Yisrael is reading, but, you know, if you miss a little bit of the laning, you know, maybe you're looking up a Rashi, maybe you doze off a little bit. Not that that happens almost every week in my life, but if you doze off a little bit, or a person uses the restroom, Bain Labain, or whatever it may be, I'm still Yotze. There's Kriyas HaTorah happened. It happened, and I was a part of it. But by Mikra Megillah, every single word, every letter, every syllable, I have to be part of it. It has to be part of me. I can't miss it. And the way Rabbi Shlomo would describe it in such a beautiful way is, you know, when you get the electric bill or when I get some type of communication from the government, you know, I review it. I have to be careful with the details. I have to know it. Not that Chalila, Torah is something so outside, but when I get a love letter, when I get a card, when I get a letter from the person I love most in the world, someone who I feel so connected to, from my lover, from my wife, from my girlfriend, from a person who, you know, means, or from my child when they're away in camp. I read it so carefully, and I read it again, and I want to understand the nuances. Why did she say this? Why did she write that? Why did she use this term and not that term? You want to try to, you know, every little aspect, every letter, because it's an igeret. It's not just informational. It's not just giving over. Even a value system. I want to know what's in between the letters. I want to get the spirit. I want to smell. I want to see if it was sealed with a kiss. Megillas Esther is not just a Maisa Shahaya. Not just a story that took place at a certain time in a certain place called Persia. And there was these characters, these people involved in it. But I want to read it not as a Maisa Shahaya. That's what the Gemara, well, the Mishnah, Megillah, is a Korei L'Mafreya, a person who reads the Megillah, a Korei is a Megillah L'Mafreya, lo Yotzef. A person who reads the Megillah out of order, or not Yotze. It literally means if I read, you know, second Perek before the first Perek, if I read this part of the story, you know, I skip it and then I go back, it doesn't work. It has to be read from the beginning to end in order. Every line, every word, every nuance, every knetch, in order. The Baal Shem Tov explained, if a person reads the Megillah, l'mafreya, as if it was something that happened a while ago. It was something that was. And patterns in history repeat themselves and whatever. They read it as a nice historical document or something which is not actually unfolding in my life presently at this moment right now. Lo yatsa, we missed the whole point. There are moments in our life as Jews, there are parts of our Judaic experience where we do have, where we tap into memory, where we do experience things, so to speak, as an experience. We hear shofar, we light Hanukkah candles to remember. You know, we're recreating, we're trying to relive, we're channeling that light, we're replicating that, we're, you know, in the Sifrei Chassidus and Sifrei Avoda, so it's as if every single Jew lighting Hanukkah candles is the Kohen Gadol lighting. We're going lifnai v'lifnim on Yom Kippur when the Chazan is going through the Avoda of the Kohen Gadol and Emes Manedar. Haya Kohen Gadol, but say so. When the Kohen Gadol came out, how beautiful it was, how filled with light and how filled with joy it was, and this is the way it was. And we have an obligation on Rosh Hashanah to hear the sound of the shofar. Shema Kol Shofar, the way it was at creation, and the way it was at Har Sinai, and the way it was when Yitzchak Avinu was there with Avram Avinu at the altar, and the way it'll be in Mashiach, and it's all kind of metaphoric in a certain sense, even if it's that same sound existentially. But by Megillah, the bracha is Al Mikra Megillah. It's upon the current reading of the Megillah. The same way, you know, when we say Nosein HaTorah, that Hashem is Notein, Hashem is giving the Torah new every single day. It's Al Mikra Megillah. We're about to enter into a process of inner working where we are accepting the reality that this Megillah is going to be taking place now. This story is happening now. And Mordechai, the Tzaddik, and Esther, who represents Knesset Israel, and Achashverosh, and Haman, and Bigdan, and Teresh, and all these different facets and aspects of this story. We're now going to try to find ourselves in this story, and find how this story is inside of ourselves. Because it's really happening right now. Not just because Netanyahu is going to Congress on Tanis Esther, whatever. That's also, you know, on a certain level. But that's, again, reading the story from the outside in a little bit. Like, you know, there's some major political moment. Like Remelech Biederman points out, you know, it probably happened that, like, someone came to the base matters and said, Esther is going, you know, Esther is in the palace right now. And they said, no, don't talk politics in the base matters, you know. Mordechai overheard Bigtan and Teresh. No, base matters, no politics in the base. Okay, go to the coffee room. You know, go to the coffee room, have a cup of coffee and a cigarette, whatever, and then you can talk about Esther and Mordechai and Bigtan and Teresh and Achashverosh and Haman and whatever. So there is a level of, you know, understanding what's happening in the world around us, but that's more open to interpretation, and that's not, I don't know, I don't totally know. But what I do know is that the same way that the Jews were there in that generation after the Churban, not sure of themselves, not sure if that 70 years had passed, and maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me anymore, and maybe it's too late, and let's just get comfortable and eat from the vessels of the temple because Hashem doesn't want us, and I don't blame Him because of everything that I've done. That voice is inside of my head in its own way. And, you know, Esther Hamalka, which represents Knesset Israel, Esther Malka, who represents the soul of the Jewish people, you know, being uncertain whether or not she should approach the king, Imala Melech Tov, if it's, you know, if it's okay by the king, if Imatzati Chein be Lefanecha, and if I find favor in front of your eyes, you know, Vekasher Kedvar Melech, and if it's okay with you, and, like, you know, this hedging of the bets and the uncertainty, and, like, you know, if it's okay with you, and if I find favor in your eyes, and if it's the right time, and if it's the right way, v'tova ani be'enav, and if the king really sees good in me, like, that's happening in my life every single day. And that's happening to all of us all the time. The feeling of, am I really worthy of standing before Hashem? Do I really deserve to find grace in God's eyes? Am I able to ask for whatever it is? And then you have the voice of the tzaddik that says, don't give up on yourself. There's no such thing as giving up hope. And yes, go to the king. Maybe so. Maybe, yeah, you're eating from the suit of Achashverosh. And maybe there's great intermarriage going on and assimilation happening in Persia in your life. And maybe, you're at night, you're with Achashverosh, and then you get up and you go into the Cheiko Shel Mordechai, and we're with a split personality, and we're pulled in different directions, and we're Mefuzar, Mefurad. You know, we're all over the place, and we have this feeling, this like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and this Mr. Jekyll and Dr. Hyde, and you know, and at home I'm this way, and at work I'm that way, and you know, when I speak to one, when I'm around these types of people, I care about this. When I'm around these types of people, I care about that. I'm mefuzar, mefurad inside of myself, divided and all over the place, and yeah, I don't know. And I have that voice inside of me, that tzaddik inside of me, that voice that says, uvachein, yes, okay. Go in front of the king even though you don't deserve it because of your actions. Yeah, it's not about what I do and what I don't do. It's not just about this spreadsheet and algorithm of pluses and minuses and rights and wrongs. Purim comes to shine into me the recognition that Hashem wants me for who I am, not for what I'm doing or not doing. And yes, I'm eating by the suit of Achashverosh, but you know what? I also have access to the king. I could go shelo kedas, even if I don't deserve it. Meaning, I don't want to read the Megillah L'mafreya. I don't want it to be a Maisa Shahaya. I don't want it to be some story about somebody else, about some other characters that took place then in that place, but that it's happening now, not just in unfolding in the newspaper, not just unfolding, you know, with Netanyahu dramatically at the Kotel before he leaves on the flight to go to New York, and Kerry calling him today, like, ooh, maybe there's some break in the action. How many Democrats are going to be there? How many Republicans are... All of that is true, and all of that is also part of the story. But Esther Hamalka comes, Batan, Esther Vatomer, she comes to the king and says, Tinasein li nafshi b'sheilati. She asks for nafshi b'sheilati, give me my, help me find myself, nafshi. Help me access my inner world. Karva el nafshi ge'ala. The gula is going to come when I self-actualize. Help me appreciate Hashem, every place where it's where the Melech is in the Megillah is talking about Hashem, and it's talking about me vis-a-vis Hashem, my relationship with God. Tinasin li nafshi b'she'ilati, v'ami b'kashati. Also, meaning my personal narrative in the context of what's happening in the Jewish people, but not as a ma'isa shahaya, not as some story that took place then, or in the context of what we're learning in this chabura, a holy person who was killed in the Holocaust, who had a big yeshiva before the war, who was known as the Rebbe of the Children, wrote in his journal. Not something that's taking place in somebody else's inner world. But what's happening with me? What's going on behind my mask? I mean, the whole year, I mean, we're all the time expressing ourselves and wearing different masks. And that's appropriate. And that's normal. When we're at work, it's one way. When we come to shul, it's another way. And we have different aspects of our personality, of our persona. Comes from the Latin word, which means to mask or conceal. Different, you know, giluyim, expressions of ourself, different levushim, different garments, different costumes we're wearing. And that's appropriate and that's good. I mean, we're all actors on a stage and that's seder. But we have to write our own script as opposed to reading someone else's script. And this comes up a lot around Yom Tovim. I don't know. I imagine that some of us share this, that we kind of, you know, we could suffer from the ghost of Purim past and think about, you know, oh, it was so good in that time, in that place. It was awesome. I hope that I can recreate that. You know, when back in the day or at that time, in that place, when I had XYZ going and these variables set, maybe when I was in yeshiva, or maybe that year when I was in Yerushalayim, or maybe when I first got married, or maybe that time where I was my second year in yeshiva, when I really understood it before I got into the workforce, or that time when XYZ happened. And it's a beautiful, beautiful memory, and it's a powerful thing to draw inspiration from our accomplishments. But, you know, It's old news.
Pardon?
It's old news. And it's, we could get stuck in this, like the ghost of Purim past, of thinking about how great it was then. That's also Maisa Shahaya. That's also Hakore Yiresa Megillah Lamafreya Lo Yatza, reading it out of order. Right now, I am where I am, and my world looks the way it looks. Remember, the story unfolds in a pretty non-ideal context. I mean, we're reading the story, you're seeing what's going on, and this miracle is happening every single moment, every twist and turn, and the Jewish people were not looking like things were going too well for us. And Hashem was still shining down incredible chasadim. And there was hester, and there was concealment. And wherever I am right now, wherever we are right now, I want to live my life not as historical nonfiction, but to be where we are right now, and to be living presently, currently, with the reality that I find myself not thinking about, you know, a lot of these svarim that we're reading, at least a lot of the svarim, we read about how this tzaddik would, you know, say all of Sefer Tehillim in the morning, and that, how that's the main thing. And anyone who doesn't read all of Sefer Tehillim in the morning can't call themselves an Advorna Chassid. That's what I saw the Shabbos. By the Nadvorna Rebbe, if you want to be an Advorna, you want to be called an Advorna, you have to do that. And by Breslovers, it's if you don't take your chatzos at night and spend the night in his bodedus, you're not doing the way Rabbi Nachman said to do Purim. And if you're not, like, you know, drinking, you know, alcohol this way or drinking alcohol that way, you're not, you know, being mekayim the mitzvah according to the way that balavoda and that rebbe and that tzaddik and that great person did it. And it's like this, all these Yom Tov, we read about all these incredible things, how the Yisod Vashor Shavoda did it, and we read in the Sof Shalom, and he talks about how the Beis Avram did it, and you read about how this tzaddik and that tzaddik fulfilled the mitzvahs, and we can lose ourselves in it completely. Where we see the way this community does it and that community does it, and instead of extracting something positive, a nekudat tova, a kernel of positivity that can kind of then be translated in a real way into my life, I say, oh, I should be doing that. And if I'm not doing that, I'm not doing good enough. I'm not where I can be, where I should be, where I ought to be, where I want to be, and then I lost myself. I see the way the Bachram are dancing, and I say, I want to dance like that too. And meanwhile, I'm not here and I'm not there. And I see the way the Alta Yidin is sitting, like the way they used to sit in Europe. All of this talk about the way it was before the Holocaust is just a continuation of a Churban in our life. Oh, the way it was then, the way it was then. It wasn't so great then, first of all. It wasn't as great as everybody makes it out to be. I mean, if you read this, any of the Svarim here of the Piasetz and the Rebbe, you realize like things were not so oy over there. There was also problems then. They didn't have iPhones, but they had whatever they had then. They had their own things going on there. To romanticize and to create historical fiction and to make everything was better then. It's a Maisa Shahaya.
They had tuberculosis epidemics.
Yeah. They had tuberculosis.
Infant mortality was like 75%.
The problems that people had then were really, really, really difficult. Were really, really difficult. Yeah, pogroms. They had pogroms. And they had tuberculosis and infant mortality. And they had, people died of starvation. You didn't die of starvation. Conscription. It forced conscription. Meaning, right, things are hard now. Like, you know, things are hard. There's only 45 different kinds of chopped liver you could buy in Shefa Shabbos on a weekly basis. And sometimes they run out of the red dip. And it's like, you know, it's difficult for us.
But that's like living in an illusion, because we know that the Purim story is repeating itself, because the Persians, the Iranians, would annihilate us. But we don't know who's Mordechai, and we don't know who's Esther. And maybe we each have to find a way that we manifest a little bit of what each of them represent.
That's exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly the point. And I don't know how it's going to play out on a national scale and on an international scale, but what I can control, and what I can relate to, and is nafshi b'sheilati, is that I could try to see how this Megillah and how this Purim and how this Gilui, this revelation of godliness within this whole story is taking place inside of my own life. And myself, like the way the Rebbe writes over here, ke'adam shekore es divrei atzmo. What does it mean to me and what's happening to me? Now, this takes work. It takes work. It takes, you know, not just his bonenus, but his bodedus. It takes really like talking it through with Hashem and asking, trying to seek out, where am I in the story and where is the story in me? You know, there's This is a story I always think about during this time of year. I really should be thinking about it more during the year. A well-known anecdote about the Satmar Rav, the Rabbi Oilish, that one year on Purim there was a Barchan. It was one of these guys got up at the Purim Tish and everybody was in good spirits, and the Barchan got up and in front of the whole Tzibur did this unbelievable dead-on impersonation of the Rebbe, of the Satmar Rav, dead-on. He, oy, 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 the right oy, 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 and the right oy, veys, and the right facial contortions, and the way he davened with the talus over his head, and the way he shook back and forth, and the way he moved his body, and everything exactly right, including the kvetching, and including the crying, and including everything. And everybody's laughing, and the Rebbe was sitting there smiling and enjoying. It's Purim, it's great impersonation, whatever. And then something clicked, something changed in the Rebbe's demeanor, and he broke down in tears. He started sobbing. And this guy was like, oh no. I pushed it too far. I went too far. You know, I could have liked it. This personator, like, he went too far. When he started crying, whatever it was. And the Rebbe said, no, no, no. And I said, no, Rebbe, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I wasn't meant to be hurtful and insulting. It's all, you know, we all look up to you so much. We're just trying to, you know, impersonate, you know, your holy work and your holy avoda and everything you do. And the Rebbe said, no, no, no. It's fine. You're right. You're right, the impersonation was really great. They said, Rebbe, what's wrong? Why are you so upset then? Why are you so broken? Because Rebbe said, you know, I'm watching you and I'm thinking to myself, you know, you're impersonating me great, and I'm wondering how often I impersonate myself. Sometimes we can, like, you know, we get into a good rhythm and things are good and we have this good maisa, we have a good script that we write for ourselves, and it's beautiful and it's authentic and it's good and it's true. And it can be true and good for a while, but if we don't revisit it, we don't look at it again, and latchil lekro mechadash, like the Rebbe is instructing here about his own pamphlet, we don't, you know, reevaluate from where I am right now. It was good then, but where am I right now? We could just become an impersonation of ourselves, and we can kind of just become, you know, putting on a mask of ourselves, and it's the ghost of Purim past. Or it's the ghost of my avoda past. Now, Rabbi Nachman says that, you know, there was a time in Jewish history where all new beginnings were from Pesach. There was a time where all haschalos, all the new beginnings, and all the hischadros and the awakening, newness, the renewal came from Pesach. Ah, Pesach, Chosh Zalachem, this is the month of renewal. Pesach, there's a Seder. It's organized step by step. Giving over the transmission of it. Pesach night, it's all about us feeling as if we left Mitzrayim ourselves, and not just talking about something that was, but living it real for ourselves. Rabbi Nachman said,
1943, Warsaw Ghetto Uprising.
Right, but exactly. But, and I don't mean to sound crass. And I say that every year, and I think that every year, about the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. And I think about the Peace of the Rebbe in the Holocaust. I think about Reb Alter Teplicker, who was killed by the Nazis. And I think about all these tzaddikim. And I think about all of them, and how their story took place. Yeah, and I think about the Inquisition, and I think about World War I, and all of those stories that happened then for those Jews on Pesach Seder night, or on Tisha B'Av, what happened then during those years. But what about me? What's happening with me? So Reb Nachman says that there was a time when all the beginnings were for Pesach. And now, and he kind of left it hanging. And now, and the way that the Talmidim and the Chassidim explain it, understand, Rabbi Nachman's intention was to say that there was a time when all the beginnings came from Pesach, and now, beginnings come from Purim. And now it comes from Purim. Purim, we're not watching a highlight reel. It's not about nostalgia. It's not about a story that took place, but it's the focus on Hakoreis Hamagila Lamafreya Lo Yatza. It's not about what was. It's about what is. It's Al Mikra Megillah. It's I'm reading the Megillah right now, and what is this Megillah saying to me? And what am I saying to it? What is this love letter that Hashem is sending me, telling me Ve'achshav right now?
What's the difference between Pesach and Purim?
Tagid. Tagid. Tagid, you say.
As a,
maybe because Purim is something that happened happened in Gullus. It happened something which is more in concealment. There was a time where we were able to relate more to reveal the chassadim. I don't know, but we could guess it. Maybe there's a time we were able to see more reveal the chassadim. We were able to appreciate things in a very mesudar way and in a very structured way. And now, maybe we have to go off the record. We have to go off the text. We have to work off a little bit off of it, and we have to maybe find how Hashem is redeeming us from within a place of concealment from Persia, not with Biyad Chazaka Vazor Natuya, when everything is open and the miracles are just blatant and it's the Makos and it's the Yamsuf and we're sitting there in Haggadah of Shel Pesach talking about all the open miracles. It's just like overflowing. But Purim is a time where I have to look into my everyday. I have to look into my daily struggles wherever I am.
And uncertainty.
Exactly.
And that's with Purim, with the roll of the dice. So.
Exactly.
That's a big
challenge. Exactly. I'll tell you, for me, it's easier for me to get into Purim. Not just because the alcohol kind of greases the wheels, but because of this place of chaos. No, it's not. I'm a big chacham on Pesach night. I could darshan the whole night on Pesach vorts. And you know what? It's good to know that Hashem likes me. Hashem wants me because I have what to say. Because I'm part of the Masorah and I have these mitzvahs to fulfill and that mitzvahs to fulfill and with this amount and with that amount. But the Maral says it's also, Purim is a time where I realize it's not mitzad ma'asim, because maybe according to my stats, I don't deserve it. Maybe, I don't know. Lo yodea. I don't want to know. There's a certain point where, I don't know where I fit into this story, and I don't know where he fits in, and I don't know where he fits in. Netanyahu, if it's, who's right? The Satmar Rebbe is right, that he goes out to bring everybody to protest against Netanyahu coming to speak, because you don't speak for Torah, is the Agudah right, is Gimel right, is Degel HaTorah right, is this one, is Rav Orbach right, is this one right, or the Baidu? At a certain point, I don't know. And I want to tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to show the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Maral explains that without my das, without my big chachmas, without my big knowledge, and my big hasagos, you want me like this. You want me. You want me for who I am. The same way Amalek is interested in wiping us out. Not because I daven, because I learn, because I made a siyum, because I wear a yarmulke, because I'm on the moetzes, I'm not counting the moetzes. Amalek is not interested in any of these things. Not bichlal mitzad ma'aseinu. But just be'etzim, because of who we are. So on Purim, the irony is, I'm learning from Amalek that I'm coming lifnei Hamelech shelo kedas, even if I don't deserve it. Mordechai, the tzaddik says, don't give up on yourself. It doesn't matter. Esther, tazov, let it be. Knesset Yisrael, forget it. Don't worry about it. Now is not the time. You have a seres yimei tshuva to be worrying about eating pas Yisrael and worrying about your averes. Right now, just go before the king shelo kedas. Go against the rules. Leave the script. Leave the Haggadah on the side. It's not Pesach night right now, which formality and there's rules and there's traditions and it's, we use salt water, we use potatoes, even though it's not green, we use potatoes because that's what we did in Minhag HaMeseh. Now, just, it's chaos, it's holy chaos, it's deconstructing all of those notions and all of that, and it's not living anybody else's life. It's right now, ripping off the mask and saying, who am I? And Hashem wants me for who I am, with all of my blemishes, with all my positives. It doesn't matter. Or Haman Baruch Mordechai. Am I a little bit Haman? Am I a little bit Mordechai? Am I this? Am I that? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. In the Gematria, it's all the same. And it doesn't matter because I'm stripping myself of all those layers. I'm saying, right now, I'm coming. V'tova ani be'ena. Hashem wants me. Matzasi chayim. Matzasi chayim. Me. Judah Mashah. Matzasi chayim. I found favor in Hashem's eyes. Because I'm finding favor in Hashem's eyes. And to say it over and over and over and over and over to ourselves. Matzati chayin ba'inav. Matzati chayin. Hashem wants my Purim the way it is right now. Not the way I read about it, how the tzaddikim do it, not the way, okay. I want to go to mikveh, I want to go to vesikin, I want at night to say, to speak to Hashem myself for an hour. I want to. I want to say Tehillim, and I want to say Reb Nosson's whole tefillah by the Mishta Yayin, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to go Mishloach Manos Bereses of Isaiah, and I want to sweat and cry. I want to do all these things. I want to go all of it. I call a poshev yad Nosnim Lo. I want to daven Hashem and have turn the whole world over. And I want to do all those things. But I want to do. I want to be honest and real and authentic to where I'm really holding. And I have other variables in my life now, and everybody according to their own way. And Hashem should help us that we should learn this Eitzah, we should live this Eitzah, this instruction, this Hadracha and Klal, to lekro mechadash, to read new, not to get stuck in reading something as historical fiction or non-fiction, but ke'adam shekorei is divrei atzmo, not a maisa shahaya, not a story that took place then, but something that's unfolding in our life right now. Tatchil me'ata lekro mechadash, and we should be zocha al mikra Megillah, to read the Megillah, to live the Megillah, to have the Megillah live through us, to find ourselves in the story, to find the story in ourselves, and emirtz Hashem, to know how good we are and how much Hashem wants us, v'tova ani ba'enav, and emirtz Hashem, we'll be able to have a Purim that turns over the entire world and shows how everything Hashem is shining tremendous chesed in an open way, not in a concealed way this year. It should be in a totally open way. Purim will never be mevatal. Purim doesn't stop. Pesach, you know, at a certain point in history, we're going to stop sitting with the potato and the water and the matzahs. But Purim is going to be lanetzach, chuvasa misa lanetzach. Okay, we should be zochet to Mikra Megillah, to an active reading of Megillah this year. Okay, shkoyach.
All right.